every parent eventually faces the question of when to let their kid travel alone, across the street, through the neighborhood, or across town. And every single one worries that something terrible might happen. Of course, they also worry that protecting their child will stifle independence. Well, recently, Lenore Scanese left her 9-year-old son at Bloomingdale's in Manhattan. She equipped him with subway fare card, a map, $20, and several quarters in case he needed to call home, and congratulated both him and herself when he arrived safely. Scanese wrote about the trip home alone in her column in the New York Sun and found that some of her readers wanted to call child services. So parents, kids, and former kids, when is the right time? Tell us your story, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Lenore Scanese joins us now from our bureau in New York City. Nice to have you on the program again.
Oh, it's really fun to be here.
And I understand this was not necessarily your idea.
Well, my son, Izzy, 9 at the time, he just turned 10, had been bugging me for a while that he really wanted to try getting home from someplace on his own. And he gets home on his own from school and, gets around town a little bit by bus and foot. And I decided, okay, let's try it. So I really thought it'd be funny if I left him at a department store, since that's sort of the classic place that people lose their kids and they all turn out fine. So that's what I did. I took him up to Bloomingdale's. It's on the east side of Manhattan. We live on the east side of Manhattan, about 5 stops away. And I said, okay, and I left him in ladies' handbags, because that happens to be the place close to the door, not for any other reason. And then I went a different way home, and that was it.
And were you tempted to follow him?
No, I was not tempted to follow him. I would have been tempted to follow him. Everybody wonders why I didn't follow him behind, because I would have if I thought there was some problem or if it was dangerous. But if I thought it was dangerous, I wouldn't have let him do it in the first place. So, no, there was no reason to let him go and follow him. I really thought he could do it. And frankly, it's like a boy makes piece of toast. I mean, it was something that kids could do, and maybe they don't do it because we do everything for them. But really, it was not a big deal. A lot of people are just sort of like marveling that, including me, that this has become, you know, the talk of the nation.
And nevertheless, some names always come up when this happens. 35 years ago, Ethan Potts.
That's the point. Let's look. 35 years ago. I mean, it's a horrible story. I moved here about 25 years ago, and people were still talking about it. But if something happens once in 35 years out of the millions and millions and millions of children who have come through and are now adults, I mean, if you were zero then, you're 35 years old now, and this didn't happen to you, you can't keep calling that as your point of reference and how you have to watch your kids. It's crazy, and yet people are starting to think I'm crazy, and I'm starting to feel a little crazy too.
Well, I know you got some responses to the column that included things like, you know, how would you have felt if he
how had... would I have felt? You know how I would have felt? Take a guess how I would have felt if something horrible happened to my son. And now, of course, if anything does happen to my son, it will only be proof for the naysayers. But the point is that it is a rare and tragic event. I have the statistics that I'm now manned with, which is in 2006, most recent statistics, 50 kids were abducted by strangers and killed out of 75 million children in America at the time. They were, if you were a kid in 2006, you were 40 times more likely to be killed in a car. But your parents will put you in a car, but they won't let you cross the street. And there's something really weird with the way we are assessing risk. And I think, personally, the reason I think we are assessing it so wrong is because you don't see every car accident on CNN, but you see every child who was ever abducted, and you see their picture, and you see their parents, and you see the talk shows, and you see it for 24 hours for a good couple of months after it happens.
There's also that terror that lives in every parent's stomach.
Every parent does have terror. My God, you think I'm like, my sister-in-law is laughing at me because she doesn't know any parent who is more nervous than me. I mean, I'm a helmet mother. I'm a seatbelt, car seat, everything mother. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't in a car seat when I was 2. I was in a car accident. I believe in taking safety precautions, but I don't believe that a normal precaution is not letting your kid out of the house. And yet, so many times, we live above a courtyard that's surrounded by 4 buildings, and my son will look down, and he wants to go out and play, and no one's outside. People just aren't letting their kids outside. There's something wrong with that.
And we've been talking about the negative side of, you know, what might have happened. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the positive side. How did your son react when he got home?
He was, you know, he was happy. It wasn't that big a deal. I wrote about it on a slow news day. Now it's, of course, going to his head. He thinks he's the bravest kid in Western civilization. And, you know, and he's not. He laughs at kids who ride bikes without helmets. Look, Mom, there's a kid without a helmet. And I sort of cringe because, of course, I know I grew up without a helmet. And that's really become one of my, like, causes at this point. It's like we all grew up much more, you know, less protected. Let's put it that way. And it wasn't like our parents were lackadaisical. It's just that parents today are sort of hyper-vigilant. And that's why I have to say I'm starting a movement, Free Range Kids. And I started a website, freerangekids.com, where you can sort of go and just say right on. Because I have gotten a lot of letters, way more letters in favor of this. Than against it. And then a bunch of letters that I really like, which are, gee, I started reading this and I thought you were crazy. But then as I read a little further, I started thinking about it. And then they always say, I'm going to show it to my wife. for some reason, I ended up on the dad side. I really don't know why.
So does your son now have a T-shirt saying, I survived the 34th Street crosstown bus?
How about, I was on the Today Show. I am so cool. I'm not going to school today. That's really what it should say, because he's been a pill. What can I say?
He'll get over it. Yeah. Lenore Skenazy is with us from our bureau in New York. She's talking about a column she wrote in the New York Sun about her 9-year-old's trip from Bloomingdale's to home via subway and bus. If you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Don is on the line with us from Wichita in Kansas.
Hello.
Hi, Don. Go ahead.
Neil, I have a great story. I think it's a great story. I was and still am a Brooklyn Dodger fan.
Right on.
We lived in Newark, New Jersey when I was a kid, and we visited relatives in Brooklyn, and we took the subway, the Brighton Beach local, and every time we passed the stop for Ebbets Field, my mother would say, there's the stop for Ebbets Field. Ooh. And she said, sometime if you ever want to go to the game, you can go.
Mm-hmm.
I was 9 years old. So I, one morning, Saturday morning, found out there was a game, packed a lunch, wrote my mother a note, got on the bus down to the train station, took the Hudson Tubes, took the Brighton Beach local, got off with everybody else at the Ebbets Field stop, bought a 75-cent bleacher ticket to watch the Duke Snider and Roy Campanella et al., and came home the same way.
Live to tell the tale.
My mother was screaming and yelling. She had literally called out the National Guard, and all I did was try to remind her that she said I could do exactly what I did, and I did. I think I went to 3 or 4 games that season.
Less charitably, she might have reminded you that the Newark Bears could probably have beaten the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Well, that's the year they actually won, 1956.
Ah, so that was the great
actually
team.
Actually the year, and I was there when Gil Hodges hit a home run to win the last game of the season and clinch the pennant. Those were before the league championship series. You won the last game, you won the pennant, you went in the World Series.
And so do you let your kids have the run of Wichita?
Well, actually, I did. My daughter, my wife was saying that she didn't want her to go down the street to the convenience store. And I said, well, you know, she crosses a much bigger street to go to school, and she wouldn't even be crossing a street to the convenience store. And so she let her go. That's not to say my judgment's better than hers. It's just it's great to have a perspective of two different parents to say, well, I want to protect the child, and, well, I want the child to have some adventure and to grow in life. And
can I say one thing about your Dodgers trip? All the people who are writing to me saying, right on, or at least writing to me, are remembering that very moment. I mean, I want to hear these stories, but I am hearing them a lot of, like, the moment of freedom, of independence. For people, it is this rich memory, and we better let our kids have some of these, or they're going to remember the time they held their mother's hand and went shopping for their prom dress.
I have to say that my memory is, in fact, that of a parent, as mm-hmm. my son, I think 8 or 9 years old, wanted mm-hmm. to go solicit neighbors to see if they would pay him to shovel their sidewalks, which, of course, I did when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in living terror. And, of course, I let him do it, but, you know.
Wait, you were in living terror for him knocking on people's doors? You thought
like
these normal people who are your neighbors you assumed would suddenly turn, oh, look, a child. What a convenient thing for me to snatch.
Well, Jack Ripper down the street, he gave me pause,
right.
You know.
You know, well, it says Jay Ripper on the bell. You go to the next house.
Don, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you, Neil.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can get another caller. This is Janine with us from Pacifica in California.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I think a lot of parents aren't letting their kids take any kind of independent steps because we're actually afraid we could be arrested if we did so.
I have to say that over at WNYC, when I was talking about this issue, they went so far as to look up the law, which I was glad about. And there is no law about, at least here in New York, you're allowed to leave your 9-year-old, you know, leave him alone
on the street, in the house?
Well, I think on the street, it didn't say. I mean, they just said that I hadn't broken any laws. But I know there are kids who take the subway and the bus, and it's not a big deal. It's just if you sort of overthink it, then it becomes a big deal.
Hmm. Janine?
I have a friend who was actually arrested.
She stepped out
of her car for 2 seconds to drop off a video at Blockbuster.
Oh, God.
And a police officer arrested her.
That's incredible. How old? What was, like, there was, like, a little kid in the car or something?
There were 10 and 2 in the car.
10 and 2 and they arrested her?
They arrested her, and I think that I...
Such a weird society.
You'd figure, even if the windows were all the way up and it was a really hot day, the 10-year-old would figure out how to crank them down.
Or open the door, yeah.
It was just from the car to the store. It was like 2 steps. But I've heard a couple other of these stories, and I just wanted to say that I think a lot of parents won't take any kind of risk because you never know who's going to report on you. It's getting to be a little bit like...
You know, isn't that interesting? At first it was people were saying you never know who's going to snatch your kid, and now it's you never know when there's a policeman nearby. You know, it's like the rules have changed. But either way, something terrible is going to happen.
Janine, thanks very much.
Thank you.
We're talking with Lenore Scanese of the New York Sun about her column about sending her child home alone from Bloomingdale's on the subway.
You know, it's that Home Alone movie that did it.
I think so, but that kid came out all right, as I remember.
That kid came out for many sequels, but I'm not sure how the actual actor turned out. But in the movies, everything was fine.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email we have from Saul. When I was 9, I ran away from my grandfather's apartment in the Bronx and walked home to Leonia, New Jersey.
Whoa.
And that's quite a walk.
I think you walked on a river.
After that, my parents knew I could navigate myself.
Right. See, that's the joy of this memory, right? I mean, that's something you can't take away from him. That's better than a bar mitzvah. I mean, it's really quite a turning point in his life, right? Yeah. I mean, and after that, he saw himself differently and his parents saw him differently. But if you never give your child that chance, you won't see them as grown up and they won't see themselves as having any capability.
After that walk, I would also guarantee he needed a new pair of chucks.
Yeah, right.
Let's get Todd on the line. Todd with us calling from Toledo, Ohio.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, I don't necessarily agree with the premise that your guest is using. Just because a child is able to conduct themselves and get through a situation doesn't mean that they should be able to. They can.
I agree. If it was a bad situation,
things they can drive by themselves. They can use firearms by themselves. But to put them in a situation where why take that extra risk that is not needed. You know, riding in an automobile, very often, you know, that's a risk of life. You have to deal with it and accept it. But to put a child in unneeded danger, I'd rather see the child be a little bit overprotected and live to, you know, enjoy some things later on.
Do you think I was actually putting my child in mortal danger and I'm just hoping against hope that maybe he'll live to see another day and we can take the subway together?
Unnecessary risk taken as an experiment.
But first of all, it was an experiment. It was something that I wanted him to start doing, and he wanted to start doing. Secondly, I didn't think he was at risk, and I think my statistics prove that he wasn't. And thirdly, it was a safe thing to do. The subways are safe, and I would never give him a firearm because firearms are not safe.
I'm not saying to, I was using an example of saying that.
But you're equating them. That's the weird thing. You're equating firearms.
Those things is because they're not mature enough to handle themselves in certain situations, or are they strong enough to?
Right, but I think he was mature enough.
I wouldn't dream of sending across town. I know New York fairly well, and just because things are getting a little better in Hell's Kitchen since...
Wait, a little better. You know what number... Can I just...
mean you can let a kid walk...
Stop. Let me throw statistics at you. We are... New York City here is, of cities over 100,000 people in population, in terms of danger, guess what number we are? Are we number one? Are we number seven? We are number 136. We are there with Boise, Idaho. So if you would send your kid down the block in Boise, Idaho, you could send your kid across town in New York City. Secondly, it wasn't like I was saying, oh, let's do something risky. You know, I'm going to throw him in the Hudson and let's see if he bobs up. And if not, well, I've learned my lesson and so has he. I was giving him a chance to exercise a skill that everybody needs in New York City, which is to get around town by public transportation because we don't use a lot of cars. And I knew he was capable of it because we take buses and subways all the time. He takes the bus home from school or he walks home from school. This was the next step. And I think you're allowed to let your children take steps towards becoming independent human beings. And a little overprotection is not what you're talking about. You're talking about coddling.
Let's get one last caller in. Emmy joins us. Emmy, where are you calling from?
Illinois.
Go ahead, please.
Chicago. Yeah, when I was a kid, my grandmother used to put me on public transportation because I'm from the Philippines. And she would literally, maybe 6, 7 years old, she'd put a note in this grocery bag. And I would take this public transportation. I'd go straight to the public market. I know exactly who the guy to go to. It's a butcher.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever my grandmother wanted, he'd put it in the bag, and I'd take the ride back home. And
mm-hmm.
It was never an issue. And then
right.
I moved here in the States when I was 22 years old, and the landscape is very different. We're so very protective. So when I went back home, I always see kids going to church by themselves, or parents would be walking maybe a mile away from them.
Mm-hmm.
But I still see kids walking around. So I really wonder, and I would never, never, never let my daughter go to school by herself. She's 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And always, if I drop her off at a friend's house, I always make sure she gets into the door before I leave because mm-hmm. of all these things that we hear.
But that's the problem. We hear things. Do you really think that something's going to happen between the time you drop her off at the front door and the door opens? I mean, people would have to be descending from the trees.
Right.
Right, yes, so that's weird.
If I were doing this in the Philippines, I really think I can let her walk from
mm-hmm.
our house to my aunt's house and not even worry about it. But
mm-hmm.
but it's
the culture.
It's
the culture of fear here.
Emmy, thanks.
Right, I'd be terrified.
Emmy, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And Lenore Scanese, can we wish your son a belated happy 10th birthday?
Yeah, you sure can. Thanks.
I'm sure he's getting a lot of them. Lenore Scanese joined us from our bureau in New York. She's a columnist for the New York Sun and appears on our member station in New York, WNYC. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.